Welcome to the Power Hour with me, Coach Junaid, helping you, empowering you, inspiring you every week on the topics of education, parenting, coaching, and peak performance. Today, we're delving into the third part of this very important aspect of life that we've been dealing with, and that is parenting. Especially, I'm going to use the word and the terminology, Islamic parenting. So parenting from an Islamic perspective, where we're putting together, you know, this framework where I said we're going to start with the core values and principles of each family. And then we moved on and we spoke about character development and character building as well. And in the last show, we spoke about parenting styles, yeah? And I ended up, you know, speaking about two of the styles, and I didn't get to finish. But today, we'll continue with that. And like I did say and mentioned in the previous show, we're going to do a quick quiz. We're going to ask you 10 questions, and it's basically very thought-provoking questions, but the answers will indicate what type of parenting style you have. So, alhamdulillah, understand parents that, you know, parenting is not an easy job. You were not given a textbook or a manual for each child. You know, when the child was born, you said, okay, there's this child, this is how this child operates. And if you've got few kids, all operate differently and all have different character types and different personality types. So the journey of parenting is filled with immense reward, but at the same time, you know, there's challenges and obstacles along the way. So it's an incredible responsibility for us as Muslim parents. And what is this responsibility? Well, not just raising these children, but understanding we are actually now shaping the future ummah, right? So it's the whole new generation of the ummah. Now the question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we want to, you know, shape this future generation of the ummah? What kind of values, you know, what kind of principles are we going to instill in their lives? And at the same time, we as parents, how are we going to guide them, nurture them, and, you know, lay the foundation for a strong, you know, we can call it for a strong mu'min that is a part of the ummah. And, you know, part of this foundation, like we did speak about it, is the second trait of raising a powerful and amazing family is your akhlaq, character. And we all know that the deen emphasizes that we all, you know, build beautiful character, akhlaq, because this is basically, you know, I say it's a flag, it's a cornerstone of our deen. You know, I spoke about this last week. I said there are qualities that we need to always think about. Things like respect, honesty, honor, kindness, and empathy. And I keep repeating these because these are not just good manners. They are actually a reflection of how our beloved Habib, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, actually conducted himself. So, let's get into today's session and learn how we can cultivate some of the traits in our children. But let's not make it something that when we want to, you know, empower our children, inspire them, it's not just about lecturing and talking and giving them long bayan. We as parents need to be role models in how we conduct ourselves, how we carry ourselves. Because I mentioned this last week, guys. Remember, children don't listen to what they told. In fact, they do what they see. They don't do what they are told to do. They do what they see you doing. So understand that when it comes to young people, when it comes to children, they absorb our actions more than you can ever believe. And if you look at something like communication, before I delve into the parenting style, completing it, and then doing the assessment. If you look at communication, communication is broken up into three parts. The first part of communication is the words that we speak. But the words only form 7% of communication. Okay, 7% of your entire communication is the words that you use. 38% is our tone of voice, how we say things, you know, and I mentioned this before. So your tonality changes the entire meaning, but that's 38%. Now, if you add 38 plus 7, that's 45%. So there's something more than both of these two things put together. And that is your body language. What is it that you embody, right? Because remember, this is what children look at. They see your body language. And what kind of values do we embody in our every single moment, every single day interaction? So this is your daily, you know, talking to people, interacting with people, how you deal with others, how you speak with others, whether you've gone to the petrol station, whether you're at the shop, whether you, you know, with the helpers at home, with the loved ones at home. How is it that we carry ourselves out? So, enough about, you know, the character. Let's go into that very important thing that we were speaking about last week, and that was the four parenting styles. We said the first one was the authoritarian style of parenting. Then you get the second one, which is similar to that, but it's called the authoritative type of parenting style. And then you got the opposite two, which are basically the kind of, you know, low ones. One is the permissive parenting style, which indulges the child. And then the last one is the neglectful, right? This is where, you know, they totally neglect how the child is, or basically they just, you know, let things go, let things be. However they want to do, let them do what they want to do, let them behave, let them speak, and that's not the right way. I gave you a little bit about the authoritarian parenting style, and I told you what it looks like. But more importantly, I didn't mention what does it result in, right? What happens to our children when we take that authoritarian style of parenting? How it brings about very obedient children who tend to become high achievers, but on the, you know, on the flip side, it creates a lot of negatives, like low self-esteem. They tend to be very aggressive, very rebellious, you know, low self-esteem. They tend to be followers more than leaders, right? That, you know, there's a whole lot. There's like about 25 different negatives or the cons of this style. And then we went to the permissive one, the indulgent parent, where there's no rules. Everything is according to feeling. You know, they avoid confrontation and dealing with challenges or obstacles. Parents tend to like to side with the children, you know, with the children. In fact, you know, I must digress on this point as well, because I visit so many schools, and, you know, I must tell you, parents, there's something that we need to move away from. Very often, what happens is a child comes home and will complain to the parents about the teacher. And what most parents do, you don't know this, but, you know, unknowingly, you tell the child, okay, I'm coming for your teacher tomorrow. Don't worry, I'm going to come there and sort the teacher out. Indirectly, you are teaching this child to disrespect the teacher, right? This child is not going to have any respect for teacher. So make sure you don't believe everything your child tells you about the teacher until you hear the teacher out. And also, do not always, you know, take the side of the child and now tell the child, I'm going to come and sort it. That's very disrespectful. You guys need to be working as a team, where the child is on the top, the parent is on one side, and the teacher is on one side. Now, I had to bring this up because, you know, this happens everywhere across the communities, all over. And this is a very common thing where the parents want to kind of like bail out the child if the teacher, you know, reprimanded the child or sent the child something. The child runs home quickly, want to make a complaint, and then the parents now think they can come and sort out, you know, I'm using the word in inverted commas, the teacher. This is instilling gross disrespect to the teacher. The teacher is somebody who's like your ustad, and they are imparting knowledge to you, okay? So we must have utmost respect to the person who's actually discharging or teaching your child, discharging that knowledge, okay? So, like I was saying, this is about the indulgent, permissive parent, where everything is free for all, you know? There's no rules. And I did mention what this actually results in. Actually, I stopped here. You know, what happens with children who come from homes where there are very few limits on behaviors, very few or no rules, everything goes according to feeling, these children have very high levels of anxiety and uncertainty in their latter teen years and as they become adults, right? So there's a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. These are the spoiled children. They act very spoiled and entitled. They give up very easily in anything from schoolwork, homework, you know, whether they have to do some chores, whether they're playing a sport. They just give up. You know, everything must be done for them. Everything must be sorted out. And another very big thing is you find that they have self-harm more. You find that there's a lot of self-harm that occurs with this type of parenting style where they develop a hatred for themselves. So they start harming themselves, you know, cutting themselves, emo. And these people tend to have a problem with people that are in charge of them. They have, I always say, a difficulty with authority, whether it's, you know, elders in the family, whether it's an imam, whether it's an alim. Anybody in a position with these people always want to challenge authority. So they have, throughout their lives, in every area, even when they get to work, they have a problem with those that are, you know, in charge, whether it's a team leader, whether it's a manager, a supervisor. They have a problem with these people that are in authority. They also come across as very aggressive, dominating, and non-compliant, right? And actually, you can see, it just keeps adding on. These people who grow up in a permissive parenting style home are very impulsive. They have very poor emotional management. They are unable to manage themselves, so they lose their temper very often, very easily. They tend to be very rebellious and very defiant when there are, you know, responsibilities and things that need to be done. So they tend to want to get somebody else to do it, or I don't want to do it, you know. So that's the kind of behavior. So let's go to the third one, and this is where we start looking at it more, right? So this is basically the worst type of parenting style, and it's called the uninvolved or the neglectful parent. So this is the type of parent who only worries about themselves. So generally, they will not nurture, they will not discipline their children. They don't really care. That's why we call it the neglectful or the uninvolved parenting, right? They actually shirking their responsibilities and not really interested in their children. It's all about them. Everything is about that parent. It's about me. Oh, you know what? I'm too tired to see to you. Please see to yourself. So it's everything is about themselves. And with this type of parenting style, you'll find that they tend to spend very little or minimal time with their children and even very minimal effort on working on their children. What you might find very often is, this is from my, you know, working with over 100,000 young people, 140,000, and more than 12,000 parents, I find that this parenting style leads to a lot of mental issues in these parents. They have mental health issues. They've got some kind of issue, something that really... And at the same time, I also find that there's a lot of immaturity. Because the focus is so much only on themselves and not on the children. Because remember, children are an amana. They are our responsibility. And very immature on a parent to actually not take into consideration the child. You know, just letting them be, letting them do whatever. You know, so there's very little to no rules here as well. And they very often, these parents are unavailable to their children mentally, emotionally, physically, right? Even intellectually. They're not there. They're focusing on their own problems and their own stresses. So what happens is these children tend to... these children tend to come out with, you know, poor relationship skills in their life. So generally, across the board, in all areas of life, they end up having very poor relationships, right? whether it's with, you know, classmates, friends, family, wherever, there's very, even in the workplace, so very, very poor relationships. And when it comes to this uninvolved parenting, right, this also, you know, what happens here is they tend to have very similar and close characteristics to that indulgent parent that we just spoke about. But more often, they're confused about how they should behave around others. So now you got a child who has no idea how I should be conducting myself, how I should be carrying myself out, you know, when there are other people, whether you're on the playground, whether you, you know, with friends, whether you're in the class. They have no idea. They tend to be very confused. So they tend to become very big people pleasers, you know. So some of the characteristics, right, they very aggressive, very impulsive. They generally very demotivated. They're not motivated to do anything, achieve anything, or accomplish anything. They, you know, they tend to be what I call the loners of the world. They can sit in their rooms for hours and hours on end. They have very antisocial behavior. You'll have visitors come home and these, like, no greeting. They don't care. They're not worried. They don't even want to talk to the visitors, even if it's family. So this is why I say it's rather, you know, irresponsible and immature on their part. And it's not their fault, because this is basically due to your parenting style. So this is the importance, then, of your parenting style. Now, these uninvolved parenting styles, parents, the children tend to grow up very, very aggressive and hostile, right? They were always on the attack. They want to attack, right? They don't want to attack the problem. They want to attack the person. So you'll find that very often they attack the person instead of tackling an issue, a problem. And this is the parent, this is the parenting style that actually gives or gets the most kids that end up being delinquent or end up in engaging in very delinquent behavior. So you'll find that very often these people like to numb reality. And how they do that is either indulging in, you know, drug abuse, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, gambling, all these kinds of things that takes you away from reality just for those moments. Okay, so now the question is, what's the best type of parenting style, right? Well, that leads us to the last one, so everybody should by now have figured it out. The best parenting style is what we call the authoritative parenting style. And, you know, this is a very nurturing style of parenting, and it has a lot of positive disciplining in the style. Remember, we still have to cover discipline and how to correct and, you know, guide our children. That was mentioned last week, but we will continue with that. So the authoritative parenting style is a parent that, you know, that holds the child responsible. They have a balance. You know, they take the middle path, the middle ground. You'll hear when these parents talk to their children, you'll hear things like, okay, you have a choice. You can brush your teeth or your hair, right? Which one do you want to choose? Do you want to brush your teeth or you want to brush your hair first? They give them a choice. But not realizing, or basically, the children don't realize that it's what we call a double bind. They only have two choices, and they think they're empowered and they're going to make the choice. But it's basically a very nurturing way of actually bringing up their children. And one of the things you find here is that there's a lot of respect and affection. If the child is badly, right? Child marks are bad in a certain subject, or the child has dropped, you know, performance and the report was not too good. The parent, the authoritative parent will say, let's talk about how we can solve this and let's see what help do you need to fix this. Okay. Now, these parents are basically high in nurture and discipline. So they like to guide their children. They supportive of their children's, you know, positive behavior. So they give love and they show affection easily. they have very good structure and support for their children. So you'll find that, like, you know, they'll take them, you know, to sporting or extracurricular activities. They'll support them in their, they'll show them what responsibility is from their own behavior. And you'll find these are the parents that will set, you know, age-appropriate expectations or even age-appropriate limits like screen time. And what happens here is these type of parents, authoritative parenting style, these parents, they have rules, right? There are rules in the house. And these rules have to be, you know, always abided by. And what happens here is they appreciate the rights of others. And this is something very important. I mentioned it last week. There are two types of rights. Hukukullah, the rights of Allah upon all of us, and the rights of others, right? Hukukullah and hukukullah, the rights of others, mankind, on us. So we need to know what are the rights of, for example, visitors, others. We need to know all of these, okay? So these parents, the authoritative parenting style are very appreciative of the rights of others. They acknowledge others, right? They, when they communicate, they listen to their children and they ask questions. They will contribute in terms of giving them some options, and they don't make a decision entirely. They will give them some choices to make a decision. And this comes to the very important point of not telling our children what to do. A very big mistake that most parents out there make is you want to tell your child what to do. Remember, when we grew up, our parents told us what to do. We shut our mouth. We, you know, did it quietly because otherwise we got a smack, right? Nowadays, if you want to tell the child what to do, the child will ask you 1,000 questions before they even get down to it. So instead of telling them what to do, teach your child to make good choices and good decisions. Because it's when you are not there to tell them what to do, when, you know, they will be called now to make a choice, to make a choice of their own, to make a decision of their own. For example, if somebody says, come, let's bunk school, or let's bully him, let's make fun of this, or let's do that. That child at that moment has a choice. They have to make a choice. They have to make a decision. And you are not there to tell them, do this, do that. So instead of telling our children what to do, teach them how to make good choices and good decisions. And also at the same time, we have to let them know that choices have consequences. You make the wrong choice, there's going to be a consequence. You make the right choice, there's a consequence. Something's going to happen, it's probably going to be a good thing. So you've got to be firm, right? And what happens is, when you are firm, you now can control, and basically, this is controlling your parenting style, right? You now can explain the reasoning behind your choices, behind the decision-making. And another characteristic that I have found from my observations is these are the parents that you'll see them smiling a lot. They'll be laughing a lot. There'll be lots of high fives and hugs and pats. So you can see there's a connection, and this is key. Remember, if there's a problem, if there's an issue, it's always there. That means there's a disconnect. It always boils down to there's a disconnect, and we have to always have connection because it's one of the six basic human needs of all human beings. So we're always striving for connection. And the last thing about these authoritative parenting style parents is consistency. They are very, very consistent in everything that they do, okay? So let's look at, you know, what are some of the results. Remember, I said this is the best parenting style. It takes the middle path. And what kind of children will come out of this? Well, children's, you know, basically children whose parents expect them to perform well, to be, you know, to fulfill any of their promises, their commitments, and to contribute in family, you know, duties, as well as, you know, maybe have some family fun, going out with the family, socializing with the family. And they learn how to formulate goals. They always have objectives. They experience the satisfaction that comes from, you know, meeting my responsibilities, achieving that level of, you know, I accomplished something. Because they set objectives very often and they set goals. Now, when they achieve it, it gives them this very high sense of accomplishment. They feel good and they build high self-confidence. So this actually also makes them two very important things. Besides being extremely they're able to control and manage themselves, it makes them self-reliant. They're not reliant on somebody else. So the result also of this type of parenting style, which is the authoritative parenting style, they are very accomplishment or achievement-based, achievement-orientated. Everything is about a result, an objective. We're working towards a goal. So these type of kids develop very good social interaction skills, right? So they maintain very friendly relationships with their friends in school. If they're not in school, you know, the friends around around the community, they are very cooperative, not just with adults, not just with parents, with adults that are around them. Any adults, whether they're adults at school, whether it's adults at the masjid, you know, family, anywhere there are adults, they listen, they respect them. And you'll find that this type of parenting style creates children that are able to manage their stress well. They are very, you know, grateful. They very content children. They tend to be very generous as well. They self-confident. They able to manage their emotions, right? They are very, very persistent, and you know, they persevere. They don't ever give up. So what happens is they don't need an, you know, external type of motivation. They don't need any materialistic motivation. They are very intrinsically motivated for, you know, to achieve anything, even especially in school. And these children, one of the best characteristics of these children is they are very accountable. They are accountable for all their results in their life. They will not blame others. They will not make excuses. They're not going to give you reasons or justifications. They are fully accountable. They take full responsibility for all their choices, for all their actions, for all their results. And in terms of, you know, brain performance, they make very good problem solving. So you'll find that they have good conflict resolution skills as well, especially when dealing with others. So they make good problem solvers, and they also, another result of this parenting style is respect. Respect for themselves, respect for their elders, respect for others, respect for other people's views, right? Respect for other people's choices, other people's decisions. They're respectful. They don't, you know, they don't want to shove down somebody else's throat. So we're going to go and do the quick, assessment, the test, to test what is your parenting style. And this is very important to know what is your parenting style, so you know now how to basically adjust yourself, right? I must emphasize something, parents. I just want to digress before I start this test. Yesterday, I spent, I think, more than three-quarters of my day at a child, literate child, who attempted suicide, right? Now, this child, on Juma, Friday, wrote the biology paper, and she didn't perform as well as expected, and the parents had very high expectations. So she came from, you know, one of the authoritarian parenting style home, where the father demanded that either you do well or you get out of this house. We don't want you here. We will get you married. We're going to ship you off. That was the fear that she was under, right, which now in turn created a whole lot of pressure. And now she couldn't manage it. So we must be careful of the result of your parenting style. Be very careful. And just to add on to this, I'm giving you some facts. Over the years, I've dealt with over 500 suicidal cases, I think, in the last 15 years. However, I want to emphasize, and I'm talking about suicide cases in children, young people, right? Children that are suicidal or highly depressed and, you know, on that time where they attempted suicide. Right? Now, that's a large number. But the frightening thing is, from the end of 2022, I'm talking from December 2022 to date, till now, November 2024, more than 50% of those suicidal cases has been in this period. Okay? So this is telling me something. If you can see, there's a pattern, right? So we need to be very, very mindful. As a parent, watch, be careful. You know, try to notice if your child is getting into these behaviors of depression, sadness, because it can quickly escalate and lead to these suicidal thoughts. She's only there. He's waiting. You know, he's waiting for a chance to take everybody astray. So we must be very mindful, be aware of what you say and the impact it can have on the children, the expectations you have. So please be mindful of this. This thing has been on my mind. I just wanted to bring it to your notice that this is something I experienced yesterday, guys. Yesterday, right? This child, 17 years old, you know, metric. And, you know, you go and do this. Now, there's a reason why you do that. And it's the expectation, right? You cannot, put so much of emphasis. I always like to ask, because I asked the father, did you ever put this kind of emphasis on Islamic education? And he got upset with me, you know? So we need to know what is the balance. And remember, I mentioned this before, and I will always mention it. Our baseline is Deen, Quran and Sunnah, Sharia. That is our baseline. Everything must be based on that and not other things. Okay, so enough about the depression, and there's also good, right? So let's talk, it's not all doom and gloom. So there are also many successful cases and cases of, you know, accomplishment and things like that. So let's get into the parenting style assessment, and you can see what is your parenting style. So grab a pen and a paper, or if you like, just make a mental note of your answers. Every question I ask, there's 10 questions. There's 3 answers. It's A, B, or C. And basically, you want to make note of whether you have an A, B, or C. So if I ask you a question, like example, if I told you, what is your favorite color? Is it A, blue? Is it B, pink? Or is it C, red? And you go, hey, my favorite color is blue. You're going to actually note or write down B, because B was blue. Okay? Remember, guys, honesty is key. You got to be honest with yourself, otherwise you're lying to yourself. I'm not going to see the answers. Nobody's going to see the answers. You're going to see it, and it's only for you and your life and your parenting. Okay, so question number one. Your child wants to play online games or video games, Xbox games, instead of doing their homework. You confiscate the gaming console and sternly remind them of their responsibilities. Or B, you allow them to play for a while, hoping that they'll remember they have homework to do. Or C, you discuss the importance of homework, but you allow some game time after the homework is finished. A, B, or C. Question number two. At the supper table, your child refuses to eat a certain dish. Let's just say, for example, it's the veggies, the broccoli, okay? Let's just say it's the veggies that they're refusing to eat, right? You, as the parent, do you A, insist they finish everything that's on their plate, even if they have to sit there for hours? Or B, you don't make a fuss and just let them eat whatever they want and leave whatever they want? Or C, you encourage them to try and taste the vegetables and you explain what are the benefits of those vegetables and the benefits of healthy eating. Which one? A, B, or C? Question number three. You have a set time for bed for your child. Every day, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., they need to get to bed. But they keep coming out of their room. Do you A, issue a warning that if you come out again, I'm going to, you know, give you a smack or you're going to some kind of consequence. Like, maybe I'm going to take away your phone, tomorrow no more phone, no more gaming. You take away some kind of privilege, right? So that's A. B, you don't worry, you give in and you just let them stay up, okay? Or C, do you calmly remind them of their bedtime? You help them settle back into bed, maybe by telling them a nice story of the great Sahaba, or maybe you do some kind of quiet activity, or maybe you read some kalimas and Quran with them. Which one? A, B, or C? Question number four. Your child is in a conflict, basically a disagreement. They don't agree with a cousin or, let's just say, a friend. And they come to you very, very upset. Do you, A, tell them to toughen up and solve the problem yourself? Or B, do you sympathize with them, offer your sympathy, but don't get involved, right? Or C, do you listen to their feelings, help them understand the other child, other cousin's perspective, and guide them towards different solutions? So you're guiding them towards a resolution. Which one? A, B, or C? You can mark it down, or you can note it mentally, right? Question number five. Your child has done very badly on a test. Do you A, express your disappointment and impose restrictions until that mark improves in that subject? Or B, you discuss it and just say, ah, man, you know what, grades are not important, my results are not that important, as long as you went to school. Or C, do you discuss what are the causes for the low performance, for the poor grades? Offer some kind of support, and most importantly, now you help them create a plan to improve on that mark of that test. Which one? A, B, or C? The next one is question number six. We are at a family gathering, and the child is being very disruptive and loud, shouting, making noise. Do you A, do you now, in front of everybody, reprimand them, scold them, and threaten to, you know, punish them if they don't behave and, you know, be more quiet? Or B, do you ignore them, ignore the behavior, and, you know, try to hide away and just hope it doesn't get worse and they somehow they sort themselves out? Or C, do you take them aside and gently remind them of appropriate kind of behaviors, especially when around others, and you engage them in a quieter activity? Things, give them options of what things they can do with their siblings or cousins or extended family in a quieter way. Which one? A, B, or C? Question number seven. Your child wants a new toy and you didn't budget for it, or you can't afford this new toy. Do you A, say no harshly with no further explanation, or B, do you buy it for them even if it means, you know, going into debt or even stretching the budget? Or C, do you explain to the child why we can't buy it right now, why we can't afford it right now, why we didn't budget for it, and suggest some ways in which the child can maybe save up for it or come up with half the money and you put in the other half? Which one? A, B, or C? Question number eight. Your child has an interest in a hobby that you don't like or you don't approve of. Do you A, you forbid them from pursuing it? Or B, you let them do whatever they want, even if you, you know, don't like the sport, or even if you have your reservations about it? Or C, would you rather have a good open conversation about your concerns why you dislike it and find a middle ground, find a compromise, or maybe offer some alternative. Which one? A, B, or C? Question number 9. Your child has been caught lying to you. Right? Now you caught your child lying to you. Do you punish them severely so that that discourages future lying? Or B, you say, nah, man, I'll overlook it this time. Hopefully, as they get older and as they're growing, they'll be more truthful and honest next time. Or C, you will explain the importance of honesty and discuss the consequences of their actions. Number 10, right? Number 10, last question. Your child has done extremely well and they have accomplished, you know, a goal or a task that they set out to achieve. Do you acknowledge the achievement but remind them that there's always room for improvement? Or B, do you shower them with praise and reward? Or C, do you express pride in their effort and encourage them to now set new goals? What is yours? A, B, or C? So, how did you score? Did you get more A's, more B's, or more C's? Let's decode. Let's see. If you got mostly A's as your answer, it basically means you're an authoritarian. Okay? Structure is important, but too much of strictness can really stifle children and make them miserable. And a child's spirit can be also stifled from being themselves. It instills fear. It also hinders open communication. And for those parents that tell me, no, authoritarian way works, remember, the Deen of Islam encourages kindness and mercy, even in discipline. So, remember, okay? The second, if you got more B's, if you had more B's than anything else, it basically you have a permissive parenting style where basically giving children freedom is good, but without boundaries, we know they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle with self-discipline, self-regulation, and they're going to have a problem with authority. So the key is balance. Now, if you've got mostly C's, right, this means you have an authoritative parenting style which aligns to what Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had actually taught us, which is basically a combination of having good, healthy expectations with warmth and understanding, and at the same time fosters responsibility and a good child-parent bond. That's the key. Okay, now we're going to go to the very important part, right? The big elephant in the room. Do we spare the rod or spoil the child mentality? This is discipline, right? You know, I must say, we grew up with, you know, physical punishment. I hear this quite often now a lot that, you know, it works and it works with us. Look, I can tell you, yeah, it works with us. We turned out okay. I mean, look at us. We're fine. We're successful. But if you look at this generation is not like us. They never will be like us. They're not as strong mentally, emotionally, intellectually. They're not as strong as us. And studies show it has long-term negative effects on our children, leading to aggression, low self-esteem, and even damaging the relationship between child and parents. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has once said in a hadith in Abu Dawud, he said, we must command your children to offer their salah when they reach the age of 7 years old and beat them for it when they become 10 years old. Now, why did I mention this? I mentioned this specifically for those parents that like to use this hadith as a justification to hit the child. To hit, right? This is very often misinterpreted hadith. It's misinterpreted that, no, I am allowed to hit. No. The ulama, the esteemed ulama, our ulama, the muftis, you know, they and the scholars have explained that that word beat actually refers to a slight tap, you know, a light tap on the back or a light tap on the head as a last resort after exhausting all other ways of encouragement and guidance. So it's not about inflicting pain, dear parents. It's about reminding the child, guiding the child in a gentle way. So the question now is, how do we effectively discipline our children without resorting to physical punishment? So let's explore a little bit about discipline. And I like to refer to it as, you know, a positive discipline, because it actually is more a means of guidance. So is it, you know, discipline versus punishment? Now, which one? Which is it? I mean, we grew up with punishment, right? We're punished. But if you look at it, what does punishment do? Basically, punishment is intended to either hurt, humiliate, or, you know, get back at something. I need to get back or pay back in a negative way. Punishment is also used to force and bully people, or even bully a child into behaving a certain way. So what exactly is punishment? What exactly is punishment? You know, slapping the child, spanking the child, shaking the child, you know, shaking them up, pulling their arm, pulling their hair, pinching them. One parent, because she was, you know, pinching the child often, I asked her, why do you do this? So she told me, no, I want to remind her of what's going to happen to her when she comes home. But this just illustrates that now you're humiliating the child, not just you hurting the child. Remember, our deen does not teach us to hurt people, especially children, right? Another thing that punishment, you know, includes is, this is a way parents like to punish their children, is remove their love. So what they do is they withdraw or they withhold their affection for the child. They will totally ignore it. They will not speak to them. Okay? They might even ridicule that child. Then sometimes you get, you know, where they will tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be very angry with you. Right? Now you are using the deen to try to justify. You know, this is called spiritual blackmail. Right? So you get spiritual blackmail or emotional blackmail, where the parents say, I'm going to disown you, or, you know, you're not my child anymore. So this is what punishment looks like in one piece. What does it result in a child? When a child is very used to, now, I'm talking about children now, okay, this generation. Now, it creates a lot of fear and aggression in a child. Now, understand that we are living in very challenging times, right? You know, we know crime is all over. So if you are going to punish and use punishment as a means of guidance or discipline, you're going to have a child that's going to be always afraid, right? Always afraid. Now, would, like, you know, somebody just looks at them, you know, harshly on the street, they are scared. And this is not how a Muslim is. A Muslim stands, you know, they're in control. They're not afraid of somebody. We are, you know, we are peaceful people, but we know how to stand our ground. So we do not want to make our children into those that are so fearful that somebody just looks at them and then they, you know, they mouth up and down, and then, or they want to run away. So we need to know what punishment, especially physical and aggressive punishment, results in your children. It makes your child very dependent on adults, on you, right? And it also increases your control and authority over the child. Now, in one word, this tells me this child is disempowered. The child is not empowered to make their own choices, you know, obviously with consequences. So they rely on their parents to do everything for them. Another thing that this actually results in is mindless. You know, I like to call it mindless and heedless obedience, rather than a desire to behave constructively, meaning they just become absolute blind followers. They, you know, it promotes this compliance and conformity to everything everywhere, whether it goes against the deen or not, you know. And they tell you, no, I don't want to feel out of place, or I don't want to get in trouble, so I just did it, you know. So we don't want that type of compliance. Our children must stick to the Sharia. If there is something that against the Sharia, that doesn't mean now because everybody is doing it, they must do it too, because they don't want to feel out of place or they don't want to get in trouble. No, they need to know what their identity is. They need to know who they are and what they stand for. So also, another very big thing, the fourth one, is a huge negative impact on their self-esteem. Okay? So children now become, you know, very, what can I say, inner-directed. They are outer-directed instead of being inner-directed, right? So whatever everybody else says, they want to go with that, meaning that they can't think for themselves. That's what I mean by inner-directed. I can make a choice for myself, or we're driven by the past. You know, we call this group psychology. Whatever everybody else is doing, we do that too. So you want to let them have positive, positive effect on their self-esteem, where they can stand for themselves and make an informed choice or decision for themselves. They don't have to follow the pack, okay? And the last thing, the fifth thing, is it addresses, if you hit the child, it's going to address a short term, right? It will work now, temporarily, right? The child might stop doing what they're doing because they got punished. But in the long term, we're not going to actually meet the needs of this child. So what we're focusing on is the negative. We're focusing on how bad the child is. We're focusing on the problem instead of focusing on the action. So a very simple way in which we should look at things, right, is basically pause. Anything happens, a child, you know, did something, made something, told you something, broke something, take a few seconds and pause. Compose yourself, right? 5 to 10 seconds. Take a deep breath in and think about what are our values and what are our goals. And now, according to your values, principles, and goals, now you take action. Most people, that this thing is actually in the opposite way. Something happens, the child did something, the child said something, and we react to it. And most often, we react to it in a bad way, and then later you think about it and you say, oh my gosh, this goes against my principles, goes against my values, against what I stand for. Now it's too late. So this is why I say, whatever happens, no matter what type of parent you are, learn the first step is to always remain calm and composed. If you lose it, how do you expect them to now, you know, have a good energy and vibe around? You've got to learn to be calm and composed, and that way you'll be able to now also control their behavior and direct them, guide them in the way that they should be. So let's move to the one that's the most important thing, and that is discipline, right? What is discipline? Discipline means we're separating the action, the behavior, from the child. It now will help the child to understand their behavior, understand what's wrong with the behavior, what's the consequences of the behavior, and what is the appropriate behavior that actually is needed in that situation. Apart from that, because we're separating the action from the behavior of the child, right? We're separating the behavior from the child. It encourages the child to now learn to solve problems. Problem solving is key. Do not try to solve all your children's problems. Encourage them to solve it on their own by teaching them, giving them different insights of the problem. Another very big thing of discipline, right? What is discipline? It helps a child become more accountable and responsible. for their behaviors, for their life. So discipline now brings about accountability and responsibility. I'm in charge. I'm not going to blame somebody else. It's my result. I take full responsibility for my responsibility. Now also, there is limits and consequences of misbehavior. So, okay, I didn't perform my salah. I need to go and read my qaza. Or there's going to be some consequences, because if you didn't do something, something's going to happen. You do it, something else is going to happen. I get rewarded, right? So also, when it comes to discipline, consider the different age groups. So the different age phases, or more common word that most people know it as, age appropriate, right? So we discipline children according to the age. And also, remember what I told you, parents. We as parents have to model Islamic behavior, okay? And also, allow your children, accept that the child needs some time to assert their thoughts, their ideas, for you to listen to their ideas, and that even if you disagree, or you have a different opinion, or you see things differently, it's fine. It's okay to see things differently. It's okay to have a different opinion, okay? And also, discipline brings about limits, creates reasonable limits. The Quran emphasizes discipline a lot, right? So positive discipline results in very good, high self-esteem. It keeps their self-esteem intact. It results in empowerment to be able to stand on their own two feet and do things on their own. Discipline positively respects the child. It models respect, because we're separating the behavior from the person. Okay, positive discipline also empowers children to understand their behaviors and the consequences of their behavior. So it gives them, it encourages problem solving, emotionally, it supports them, the emotions. They're now able to manage and regulate their emotions as well. They're able to think creatively when they need to solve problems. It builds what I call a locus of internal control, where the child goes, I know what's wrong. I want to do the right thing. And let me consult with my parents, or let me consult and find out how or what are the options. So suddenly this child now is taking charge, taking control. This is the accountability that I'm talking about, which positive discipline brings about. And the last very important thing is it creates social capability, social competence. You know how to conduct yourself amongst others, especially amongst adults, amongst the elders of the community, amongst the elders of the family. So this is that social intelligence that's absolutely crucial that we need. Okay, so I have a thing about two more minutes. But this is basically, wrapping up the parenting styles and discipline and positive guidance to our children. It's that time now where we actually coming towards the end of the show. So I'm going to actually, ask you to basically, I want you to, think about your parenting, think about how you go about it, right? And remember, parenting is a continuous journey of learning and growing, okay? Make sincere intention and keep your reliance solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that way, we can raise very positive and righteous children. Listeners, my time is up. Jazakallah khair for joining me on the Power Hour. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all as parents, keep us on the straight path, keep us on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And until next time, inshallah, next week, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.